Joy had another praise. Luke's labs lab levels. That's almost a tongue twister. Luke's lab levels have all returned to normal. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You are our healer. You are our healer. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things I love most about this time of year is just a chance to be outside. You know, this is one of my favorite times of year, and just the beauty, all the color, and the chill in the air, and you know, just the changing of the seasons. Amen. Think about how much time we spend inside four walls. Too much of that happens under artificial light. You know, looking at the dim flicker of a blue screen. And is it any wonder so many people just feel, you know, disconnected today? We've stepped out of God's creation into this world of our own making. And you know how limited we are. So it's healing. It's healing to go outside a bit, you know, breathe the fresh air again. To take in the beauty of what God has made, to just go for a walk. I mean, this is the world that we were meant to be in, to live in, to see and hear and feel. And God has been pushing me outside more lately. And that's a good thing because, you know, it helps me look forward to Him more. There's something about His creation, you know, that turns your heart there more. It helps you look forward. I mean, if this is good, as broken as the world is, what's coming? I mean, what is that going to be? You know? I mean, when everything is perfect, you can only imagine. So just this past week, I read these words in Hebrews 11, great chapter that talks about, you know, people who have walked by faith, and I was convicted as I read it. After all these people like Noah, Abraham, Sarah, all their names, here's the verse that got me, verse 16. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not to be shamed. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Just those words. They were looking forward to a better place. As soon as I read them, I thought, oh, is that me? And I realized, not as much as it should be. You know, there's that work of the Spirit that's like, come on, come on. I mean, are you looking forward, or are you just so focused and tied with what's going on right now? Where's my heart? You know? I mean, Jesus talked about treasure in heaven, right? That where your heart is, there your treasure is also going to be. And I had to look at myself and I had to think, I've got too much treasure just here that occupies my heart and my mind and my thoughts, you know? But the real treasure, the stuff this earth can't take away. You know, am I looking forward to a better country? That's what our scripture is about, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open as we go through this, because we want to stay close this morning. I so appreciated Jim Hansen's words to us last week about learning how to listen to God more in the moment. That's one of the good things God has brought out of this hard season for Jim and Jill. You know, it points us back to what Paul is saying here. Be careful how you live. And that word, careful, is like this heads up. You know, it means being alert. Something's coming. And then the word for live here is actually the word for walking. So it's like heads up, watch your step. Be careful where you walk. And then verse 16, making the most of every opportunity. The word for opportunity in that moment is simply this present, like this moment, right now. It's like right here, right now. Make the most of where you're walking. Stay alert. Keep your eyes open. That's where Paul's going with this. But here's the challenge. You and I are so busy. We got so much stuff to do. So much stuff to do that if we're not doing something, we feel like something is wrong. And that high pressure perspective has a way of backfiring and leading to escapism. Like binge watching, you know. I mean, how many episodes of whatever? You know, it's, or, you know, running into alcohol or just something with sugar, you know, just to catch a break in the moment, right? I mean, that's how they always market it. It's this whole, think of the whole McDonald's campaign, you deserve a break today kind of thing. But it's not a break. It doesn't heal. You know, it pours more sugar into our system that then later causes us to crash and want to move on to the next fix. It's a false peace. So verse 18 points in this other direction. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, a couple of ways to look at that. One is we can look at it from the standpoint of, yeah, I know that guy. That guy who tells me that, oh, I need to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm not really sure I'm seeing that in him. You know what I mean? We've all heard that person. But what Paul's pointing to, it's like a walk outside. It's like, you know how it is. I mean, you walk down the streets of a large city where it's just concrete, and after a while, your soul just kind of feels barren, doesn't it? I mean, you're just like, part of you aches to just see a tree. And yet you walk outside into what we have around us here. And it's like God is speaking to your soul, caressing your soul, reaching out to you with his peace in a way that you realize. I mean, if you contrast the two, it's so significant. And that's why in the middle of a city like New York City, you've got to have Central Park. Because our souls were made for that, to be where he is. And that's where Paul is going when he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. It's what our hearts long for. It's what God made us for. Once taste God, and only God will do. If we really get to know him for who he is, yesterday morning I got up at 4 a.m. to deliver a puppy to a family up in Boston. And we have one puppy left out of the dozen, and she goes down to Charlotte on Tuesday, and Carrie's going to take her. But I'll tell you, it's been bittersweet because, you know, just like Ken's a cat person, I get attached to these puppies each time, you know. And, I mean, you want it that way, you know, because for one, that's what the puppies want, and that's where your own heart is drawn. And you're really training them to be with other people. But it hurts, you know. Yeah, I know. Ken has a couple of kittens. Now, I'm not going to start that conversation, though. Fortunately, Bob's out of the room, though, at the moment, so we've got this resident, you know, dog lover, cat lover conversation going on. But anyhow, you know, here I am on this concrete landscape of the airport, and, you know, the roar of engines all around you, and then you're stuck in a metal tube, landing in Baltimore, you know, and the poor puppy doesn't know what to make of all this. And so I'm doing my best. I mean, I've got a picture. He just falls asleep on my foot. You know, he wasn't going to let me. I take a couple steps away, and he's like, "Where are you going?" You know, I dropped him off with the family, great family, and you know, they let me give him a hug one more time. She was like, "You want to do this, don't you?" Go on, give him a hug. And anyhow, the way back on the plane, I'm like, "Where's the puppy?" You know, I'm missing him because it's this, you know, he was this little bit of God's creation in the middle of all of that human creation. And he was such a, you know, a bright spot in this. And again, I think that's where Paul is going with this. It's like, look, I made you. I know what is going to bless you and help you in life. Let me in. God's calling us this way. He knows us unlike anyone, and no matter what the hurts that we've had in our hearts, or the messes we've made, or how far away we felt from him, or how lost we may feel in the moment. You know, his love for us wants to bring us back into that place where we realize there's just nothing better. And we start to look forward to him more. They were looking forward to a better country, right? I mean, those things that you and I love, they're all gifts from God. And you and I can John Eldredge writes about this, the way back into a relationship with him. You know, if we've been away, is to start praising him for those good things. And of course, Jesus is the best thing of all. Because no one loves us like that. He came to show us this. So remember, Paul is writing to the church. In verse 19, he says to speak to each other with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And again, this is one of these places where it sounds so good that it can be easily misapplied. It's a lot easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk. And what Paul's talking about isn't just talking. He's talking about this from the heart, how we interact with each other, mindful that God is right here. Right now. You know? That's why we don't have parking lot conversations at Peace Church. You know what I mean. I mean, we can talk out in the parking lot, but it's got to be the same kind of stuff we talk about in here, because there's no difference. God's right there, just like right here. And it's been something I've been grateful for about this church, is the way that we love each other and can be real with each other. And what Paul is basically saying here is be real with each other in the Spirit of God. You know, what have you seen him doing that you are really thankful for? You know, Jim has talked about that, as I mentioned, you know, as he talked about learning to listen to God lately. And each of us have those places. And this isn't supposed to be some sort of put-on church talk, because we all put our best foot forward. This is intended to be the kind of real stuff where God meets you even in the down and dirty places of your life, and there's somebody here that you can tell about. And you can be open about your own brokenness and your own mess and how God has been good to you in it. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. And I understand discretion is necessary. Sometimes there aren't things that maybe we can share. But you know, that's why Jesus came. And if churches can speak more out of their brokenness with each other, how good that is. Because that's not what the world expects. The world expects, when they come to the church, to be judged. You know, they expect people to look them up and down. We can't be that, and we can't do that, because what God has done for us is so much better, right? So, Ben Patterson writes, "A culture of praise and thanksgiving grows faithful, wise, and happy people." So when Paul is saying, speak to each other with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, and to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, he's going to the deeper places, the thankful places. God has been good to me, in spite of my being so messed up. God has been kind to me, you know, because of his son. those heart places, that's where we want to be. Because that's where Jesus lives. And that's where the Spirit meets us afresh and fills us right here, right now, not put on, honest to God. We have someone and something to look forward to together. We're all on our own pilgrim's progress, and in good conversation, if you've read that book, you know one of the best things about it is they're always talking about, you know, this conversation they've had along the road. It's about the real stuff out of life. And it raises this question: how thankful am I? You know, just in that little stuff. You know, I know. Thanksgiving's coming up and we talk about it. Right? We need to be thankful, and we always kind of leave it at that place. Oh, I know I need to be thankful. But I got all this other stuff going on, and so how can we be? I think a great place to start is, God, help me to be thankful. Because I know my heart isn't right in that. Because if my heart were right, it would be like, you know, we looked at the very beginning, now thank we all our God, that hymn. After all that stuff has happened, the city that's been, you know, under siege, and the pastor's doing 5 funerals a day, and he's the only pastor alive left in the city. And then afterwards, he writes, now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done. How can you do that when you've been through something like that? God creates thankfulness in us because of His Spirit. And for that to happen, we've got to let Him in. And He'll help us in this. It has to be real. It has to be out of life. You know, would others see in me that I'm a thankful person? Why? How? Would they see that? Yeah. It's a good question to ask. But again, I'm not being a travel agent for guilt trips, you know, right here at Thanksgiving time. I know, we all wrestle with this. But here's the thing. Here's the challenging part. Verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Give thanks for everything that... Okay. This is where... this is one of the reasons why pastors should take Greek in seminary. That word for doesn't just mean for. It means over. Give thanks over everything. I think that's the better translation. What does that mean, though? Because, again, there are some things that are hard to thank God for. And God, this is all about being real with Him. God doesn't want us to be phony about that. Unless it's like, God, I'm going to thank you for this. I'm not thankful about it, honestly, but I know I'm supposed to, so I'm going to. Okay, maybe. But what this is going after is, no matter what's happening, over everything, above and beyond, give thanks because you have something and someone to be thankful for, no matter what, no matter what happens. Because God is that good. And I'll tell you, I need that because, there's one place in my life right now, someone I love is going through a difficult time, and every time I think about it, I get stressed out. And I've been talking with God about it and saying, why am I this way in this? I'm supposed to, why is it this way? And I'm realizing one of the things God is teaching me is you need to praise me in that circumstance. Not for it, it's a mess, but praise me for me. Thank God for God. He's got it. He's over it. Be thankful in all circumstances, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Again, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. There it is. And that's a heavy lift sometimes, right? Because one of our main questions is, and this is what happens, I think, when we get so locked into this world of artificial walls and artificial lights, and flickering screens in front of us, and our lives are just taken up by all that, then it's something bad happens to us, and it's like, God, how could you allow this? Because we're so closed in. And it's like everything becomes about us, And what he's trying to do is open our eyes to hope that he is peace that he gives. And that's the most beautiful thing that there is. That's where he wants us to come to him. Think of Jesus' words, whoever comes to me, I will not turn away. So you and I, no matter what's going on, we can thank him for being like that. If everything else were taken away, he remains. He is good. So before we finish up today, let's go there silently. Let's just take a moment between you and God to just bow our heads and silently to thank him from the heart for the love that he offers us, the hope that he gives us, that no matter how bad things are, he is so much better. And as we turn to him, he will meet us and show us his goodness over everything. Let's do that now. Just take a moment to be quiet. Thank him for loving you. Take a moment and thank Jesus for coming to love us, to show us God's love, for dying on the cross for us so that we don't have to carry our sins anymore. He can take them away. And He can give us a new beginning with Him. If we just ask Him, He will. Ask Him to forgive us. Ask Him to pour His love, His Spirit into our hearts. And decide, yes, I really want to walk with You. And I know I can't do it on my own, but I ask You to help me, Lord. Help me. He will. He's so good. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, keep us in this place of being thankful for You, because we know You, and we can always be thankful for You. Lord, help us if we're not there to get there. Thank You that You will through Your Spirit. Bless us just to be Yours and to share Your love with others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, Amen. Go in peace.